Good evening and welcome to everyone here tonight and also those who are watching online. We give a warm welcome to everybody once again. The Ladies Fellowship meets tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Road to Recovery meets here in the church on Tuesday at 7, and then the prayer meeting will be held here and also be on Zoom on Wednesday at 7:30. And the services next Sunday, 11 and 6, will both be taken by Reverend Kenny I. MacLeod, who is the former assistant minister in Stornoway. Reverend E. McRitchie of Park is available for urgent needs, any issues to do with urgent pastoral issues. So if that is required, please speak to one of the elders in the first instance. And just a reminder that the Healthy Gospel Church meeting will be here in the building on the 20th of April, and there are various people up from Edinburgh speaking regarding that, and that starts, I think it's 6:30 for 7 o'clock start. So I would encourage everyone who is able to attend that. These are all the intimations, so once again, we look forward to having Donnie MacLeod leading the worship this evening, and we pray for God's blessing upon him.
Well, it's always a joy to come and worship the Lord together. And as we do that, we're going to sing verses from Psalm 119. This psalm will be sung in Gaelic. Psalm 119, verses 33 and 34, we'll sing to God's praise. And then John McSween will lead us in a Gaelic prayer after the singing.
Hier tot staken, tjokkes kom, ook hier Jehova geeft.
Amen.
We continue worshiping God. We're going to sing the hymn, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God, Fill Me with Life Anew." Let's stand to sing, please. we can turn to God's Word now in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and we'll read verses from verse 1 to verse 18. Philippians chapter 2, reading from the beginning of the chapter. Just while we're looking that up, I really thank you for your fellowship, for your prayers for us, and I would just ask that you would pray for Jeff and Sarah. They are the new workers in the Highland District. They've now actually moved to the Black Isle. The mission have been able to secure a house there. And they've just moved up, but they've just gone away to Orkney to run children's holiday clubs all of this week, Monday to Friday. They'll be running a club in Firth in the mornings and then in Stromness each afternoon. And so they're up there with the family, the six children, and I know that they would really value prayer as they seek to minister, to reach out to the children in those areas. Thank you so much. Philippians chapter 2 at verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work, for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen. And we pray that God would bless to us the reading of his own precious word. Let's again sing, this time words from Psalm 119, verses 9 to 17, to God's praise.
How can the young keep their life pure by doing what your word demands? I seek you with my heart and soul. Let me not stray from your command.
beautiful words, these, and as we were singing them, I was just thinking, if only I could have that heart's desire that the psalmist had for his love for the Lord, for his commands, for his law, for his word, to have that in our hearts. May God help us. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word, the word that we have been singing, how we were being brought to think about the love that we should have for your commands, your law, that we would be meditating upon your word, your works. And as we do that, help us to know all distractions taken away from us. Help us as we consider your word that we would know the help of the Holy Spirit, and that you would guide us and speak to us. And as another has prayed, that you would make the book live to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to consider some words from the passage that we've looked at in Philippians chapter 2, and particularly this section from verse 12, where it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life." It is said of this book, it is where you can find the secret of true happiness. And to find that secret is truly amazing, true happiness. And of course, for so many, the search is on, but for the majority, they never get to that place of discovering, finding true happiness. Of course, true happiness can only be found in Christ Jesus. And of course, he is to be found in this amazing book. Yes, in this book of Philippians, but in the Bible itself. Thinking tonight just a little bit simply about living to please God. And that's always a challenge for us. But for God's people, that's what's required of us in our Christian lives. And of course it's all by God's grace. We can't live for him at all of ourselves. But it's all of his grace. And it's all because of what he has done for us that he enables us to live for him. But it's only when, by his grace, we're enabled to be in that place that we will know this happiness, this contentment that's spoken about in his word. As Paul himself said in chapter 4, verse 11, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." It's quite something, isn't it? In this day and age where there's so much discontentment, when it seems that people get upset about so little, and yet when we read God's word and when we discover the reality of it for ourselves, as Paul did, in whatever situation he said, "Whether in want or whether in plenty, I've learned the secret of contentment." And in this passage, we read that Paul, he had much good to say about the church in Philippi. But he's also detecting that there's a tendency in the church, although there's so much good, that tendency is to depend a bit too much on Paul. And he's obviously very influential in the church. You know, if Paul was in the fellowship, people might naturally just look to him. And he was a great example. He would have been an example of humility. He had a great knowledge. He would have been an example of how he gave himself to the work of the Lord. He would have had wise counsel, and so we could go on. But he is reminding them that they need to be totally dependent upon Christ and not on any one person. And we can have that tendency, can't we? To look to someone, whether it be the minister or whether it be an elder, whether it be someone else, and God has given us all gifts. It doesn't matter who we are, we've all got gifts, and he wants us to use the gifts that he has given us for him, because we're workers together. And Paul is reminding the church here in Philippi, you need to look, have your eyes fixed on him and not on any person. He's saying, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does this mean, to work out your own salvation? This letter, as we know, from the beginning, it's addressed to all the saints in Philippi. And this part that we look to, it begins, therefore, my beloved. Those who are being addressed here are those who are loved by Jesus, and indeed loved by Paul as well. So it's not meaning, obviously, that somehow we can work out through our own effort to become people that would be acceptable to Christ. It doesn't mean that at all, because we can't do that. We know that. So what's it talking about then when it's saying to work out our own salvation? What do we have to work out? Well, the verse reminds us that it's what God is working in. We work out what God is working in. And it's a life's work. It goes on to the finish, until we reach the finishing line. There's a work going on, and we have to work out what God is working in. You see, knowing the Word, we could know the Word the very best. But unless that Word has been worked out in our lives, then knowing it is not all that's required, obviously. We know in the Word of God that we have to love one another. But is there someone that love is just not what it should be? We know from God's Word that we have to forgive. Is there some situation and we have not really forgiven? We're holding on to it. Brothers, in Philippians 3:13, he says, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting what lies behind. Is there something in the past? That's talking about holding on to things that are keeping us in the past, preventing us from moving on with Christ. Is there something there, and it's preventing us from moving on? Could be a number of things. But we're told to work out God's truth, God's Word, as God is working it in to our lives. In Philippians 4:8, we read, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I remember I referred to David Patterson this morning. I want to refer to a sermon he preached nearing his retirement in Perth. He preached from that verse, and he took the word lovely. And his text was, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. That was a most helpful sermon. Because we don't always, let's be honest, we're not always thinking on the things that are lovely, are we? But it's a great reminder when we're not. And that verse comes to me that David preached all these years ago. Whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. And that's a help when we're thinking on things that are not so lovely and our minds are not thinking the way that God would want them to be thinking. Our thoughts are not always on lovely things. They're not always pure. But that's what we're told in this part of God's word, to work these things out. Working out what God is working in will always be lovely. Because it's his word, it's his truth, it's his will, it's his way. And it's not just in part. We can take the parts that suit us, can't we? We can take the parts that perhaps we can work out, but sometimes we have to work out things that maybe goes against the grain a wee bit. They're not so easy to work out. There's situations perhaps that we need to sort. There are people maybe we need to go to. There are times in our lives we really have to humble ourselves and just get down there and work things out the way that God wants us to work them out. So it's in every part. When we had a little dog, we used to have if we had a steak pie, for example, and we would clean the dish as good as we could. But when we give it to the dog, my word, all the wee bits that we couldn't get, he got. And he would lick away at it until there was no steak pie left. One commenter mentioned it, likened it to working out of a mine all the precious ore possible. What God is working in, we need to be working out. You see, our wee dog Sam, he just loved the leftover steak pie so much. He didn't want to leave any of it in the dish. Can we say with the psalmist that we were just singing about? We just love the Lord and we love his ways. We meditate upon his truth so much. But we don't want to leave any of it out. We want to be as like Jesus as we possibly can. As the psalmist said, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. In verse 165 it says, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Of course, this love is shown by doing, isn't it? If we say we love someone, how do we show that love? We show it by doing, don't we? It's not enough just to say, well, I love you. But we have to show that love. We have to demonstrate that love in our lives. The psalmist said, I love the Lord. And if we say tonight, I love the Lord, are we working it out? Are we showing it in our lives? And as I said at the beginning, you know, it's only through His enabling that we can do it. We can't do that of ourselves. But we can rejoice in Him, that He works in us. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that works in you. Doesn't say He works for you. There's still a work to be done. The Christian life is never about sitting back and just waiting for it all to happen. But God says He works in us both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And that's a powerful work. And sometimes we can overlook these things. The work of God is a powerful work. It's the same word, seemingly, that we get our word energy from. It's powerful. It's a powerful work that brought us from darkness into light, wasn't it? When we were dead in trespasses and in sins. Yet, but God made us alive in Christ Jesus. That was a miracle of God's grace and power. And it's a powerful work too that God works in us. That we for His will. That we can work out what He is working into us for His good pleasure according to His will. One commentator said, he's a very quaint writer, I don't know if you've come across him. If you can read his stuff, it's absolutely lovely. Robert Hawker is his name. I just love reading little quotes and what he has to say. He says, He worketh in me to show me my total helplessness in myself and my complete all-sufficiency in Christ. He worketh in me to show me my total helplessness in myself and my complete all-sufficiency in Christ. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Well, it's not the kind of fear and trembling that we would know, like the world might bring us to that place. I remember in school, that was a long time ago, that's when teachers would give you the belt and it would be sore. And we had a maths teacher, and my word, whenever this lady got a new class, she put fear into every new class she had. And she told us afterwards, she was a lovely lady, she told us afterwards that she did that for the first few periods. And she said she never had any bother with anyone after that. Sometimes she would take you out to the board, and you would just be there in fear and trembling. Fear and trembling in case you would give the wrong answer, but so much in fear that you couldn't even think to give the right answer. It's not like that. See, God is not like that. You see, God is, He's gentle and He's kind. And He's there, He lifts us up. And He knows that, yeah, we're going to fall down. He knows that we're going to mess up. He knows that we're not always going to get it right. But we need to keep short accounts with God. And you know, isn't He there to lift us up when we fall down? You know, it's that, surely talking about that humble, that careful attitude, that would make us careful that we want to do the right thing. We want to do what's right and pleasing to God, because it's for His good pleasure. In Psalm 119 it says, we were singing these words, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commands. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Of course, in the Lord's Prayer, we have your will be done on earth as in heaven. And it talks about leading us not into temptation, but delivering us from evil. Well, we know that God doesn't lead people into temptation. But surely this is reminding us and speaking to us in the way that, Lord, forbid that I would wander into temptation. Lord, keep me from straying. We're prone to stray. We're prone to wander. We're prone to sin. Lord, keep me. Keep me from that. I know someone, Christian person, that had a problem with alcohol and was doing really well, going on well with the Lord, bright. But he told me one day he was in a supermarket in a queue, waiting to get to the checkout. And he looked beside him. And what was on the shelves beside him? Just a half bottle of vodka. And his hand went out and reached out for it. And you know, he was in a bad way. Lord, lead me not into temptation. What one of us is strong enough to say, that would never happen to me, Lord, lest I fall. You see, contentment is found by delighting in him. That our desires would be towards him. That our desires would be pleasing to him. Of course, we have his own son when he said, this is my son in him. I am well pleased. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Grumbling or disputing. Ach, we like a good moan, don't we? Things are not suiting us. We're prone to have a bit of a moan and a grumble. We can be just like that to our shame, can't we? But here we're told not to be like that. It's not the way it should be. Because what God is working in our lives is good things. And the work of God is a good work. It's his word, it's his will, it's his way. And we're not to do it grudgingly. We're not to do it by disputing, but we're to do it willingly. Whatever, it mightn't always be the best of jobs. It mightn't always be the kind of things that we would want to do. But if God is showing us through his word, and if we know this is what God wants me to do, then we should do it. We should do it happily, willing, with the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I remember a minister saying to me one time, I'm not going to mention who it was or any names, a minister saying to me one time, he was looking for someone to take a prayer meeting. And he says to me, he used to call me Don, he said, I know there are people here that could take the prayer meeting and they could do it well. But he said, a willing person is worth far more. Are we a willing people? That's what he's saying here. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Let's be willing. A willing person is worth far more. Doing it right away without disputing. Sometimes we might know that God is speaking to us in some way, but we're delaying. We're really saying, no, not just now, Lord. But maybe down the line a bit, maybe at another time. No, if God is speaking to us and he is saying, do it willingly and without delay. Wonder, is the word speaking to someone? Speaks to me. God is speaking. And you just know that God has been saying something to you. And you're putting it off. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Do it now. You see, there's joy and there's contentment in obedience. Verse 15 says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, blameless and innocent. You say, oh, the standard is high, isn't it? You say, well, we can never achieve this on this side of eternity. That's impossible. We're blameless and innocent. We won't be perfect on this side of eternity. We know that. But nothing less should be our aim. Remember, it's not about what we can do. It's not about what you can do or I can do in my strength. But it's about what he can do through a life that's surrendered to him, that's given over to him. The hymn says, I surrender all. Much easier sung than done. All to Jesus, I surrender. Blameless. No one can point the finger justly. No one could say, do you hear what he said or hear what she said? Did you see what that person did? You know, this is talking about that no one can point the finger justly. Sandy Roger is a former principal of the Bible College. He spoke at a faith mission rally recently at Greyfriars Church in Inverness. And he said something like this. I can't remember just word for word the quote, but it was something like this. Most of the problems in the church come about through people whose lives are not fully surrendered to God. I want to take you to Psalm 101 just for a minute or two. The psalmist said here in Psalm 101 at verse 2, I will ponder the way that is blameless. O, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Ponder the way that is blameless. A blameless life. I will walk with integrity of heart, a blameless heart. And then in verse 6 it says, I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks the way that is blameless shall minister to me. A blameless life, a blameless heart, and a blameless walk. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. And this blameless, it speaks of being innocent. And it speaks of that there's nothing hidden. That there's no hidden agendas. Unmixed. Open. Wonderful qualities for the church meetings, for the deacon's court, for the session meetings, to be open, that there's nothing hidden, there's no hidden agendas. Not doing harm, but seek to do good, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. In this day that we live in, if any impression is going to be made for God, it needs to be made by people who are willing, by God's grace, to live this kind of life. He's looking for people who will shine for him. In the midst, we live in a crooked and twisted generation. When you go out into the night sky and on a frosty evening you look up into the sky, you can see all the stars bright against the dark sky. I wonder, are we those kind of people who would shine brightly in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation? His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. You see, it's him. It's his divine power. But we have all that we need. He has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we're calling out to him because he alone equips for service. When we speak to people about, sometimes about trying to help people who might be seeking the Lord and maybe would just a desire to come to be saved, to be a Christian. We sometimes say to people, well, you know, God won't accept you in part. You can't think that you can give part to God and keep part for yourself. If you're going to become a born-again believer, you must be willing to surrender everything to him, to give your life completely to him, to hand it all over to him, your sin and everything. It's handed over to him. You become his. But that continues, doesn't it? Down the road, does he still have all of me? Does he still have all of you? You see, this is the kind of people that God wants us to be. We're weak people. We're helpless people. But given over to him, like the little boy, he just gave his lunch, whatever he had. He put it in the hand of Jesus. And just the little that we have, that we are, that we can give, just given over to him, he can use it for his glory. It talks about in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I have been poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. That I may be proud or I may rejoice. Paul could rejoice in the lives of these Philippian believers. And he knew that even in the face of persecution or even in the face of death, he had no regrets. He said, I will rejoice. Therefore, my brothers, beloved brothers, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is never in vain. Lord, we pray that you would bless your word, what's of you to us. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for so often we we're so poor at serving you and living for you, the kind of lives that you want us to live. Lord, we want to come before you and we confess that. But Lord, we have a desire in our hearts that we would be better, but Lord, we know that we cannot be better of ourselves. So we appeal to you, our Father in heaven, for you to help us, to lift us up. Because it's your work, it's your power, it's energy from you that will enable us to do the work that you want us to do. But Lord, make us a willing people. Because a willing people will come to you in the day of your power. And help us to serve you well together, that we would be a united people. Lord, if there are things in our lives tonight that we know they're falling short of what you require of us, they're going against your word, Lord, we pray that by your grace we would be cleansed, we would bring them to you, that we would know that cleansing, that we could move on, we could move forward, to know that joy and contentment there is in obedience, in serving you. Help us to be a people who will stand out. Help us to be a people that will shine bright for you in these dark days that we live in. We do live in dark spiritual days. But Lord, you are appealing to us in your word to be those who will shine. That we would be holding fast to the word of life. Your word. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Oh Lord, help us to hold fast to what you have given to us and to be found looking more and more to you. Oh Lord, we want to be used by you. We want to be a people whom the world will look at and say and know that we're different. And that people wouldn't see us, but that they would see Jesus in us. So help us, we pray. Bless your word. Bless the word as it goes out tonight in many different places. We pray that this might be a great night, a great evening for the gospel, and for your word going forth, that many lives should be touched and changed, and that we would give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing our closing praise, and it's the hymn, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay, mould me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still." Are we willing for that work of God in our lives, that moulding, that making, that shaping, after his will? May God help us. Let's stand and sing this closing praise.
After.
may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.